demonstrated with his life what it looks like to faithfully stand on God's word and faithfully rely on his Spirit. He spent most of his life as a farmer, but has been involved in ministry all throughout his life, telling others about what God's done for him and always praying for his family and encouraging them to live for Jesus. Most people know him as Daniel Kolb. For me, he's Grandpop. Could you welcome him as he comes up to bring the word this morning?
That should be better. Is it on now? All right. Well, this is quite a privilege of being here with you this morning. I understand that Gertie was here just a couple weeks ago. I thought, my, what a hard act to follow. Gertie is a tremendous friend of mine and a great man of God, and I just appreciate him so much. And also, I certainly appreciate Martin and his willingness to serve the Lord wherever he is called. And when Martin asked me if I could come and fill the pulpit for a Sunday, I thought, they want an 87-year-old guy there. And can he come and bring something? And I battled with it for a while. But then the Lord brought a couple things to my mind. And one of them, and I'm going to be sharing a few stories with you from my life, because that's the things I know where God came, times when God came through in my life. And the one of them that God brought to my mind when Martin asked me, and I thought, well, I have trouble getting my thoughts together sometimes. It don't come as easy as it used to. I never was a great student. I only got through ninth grade in school till I had to work on the farm. But and then God reminded me of something that was so special in my life. Martin's grandmother got early onset Alzheimer's at the age of 51. And she was about 4 years into this horrible disease when we were asked to, I was asked to go on a trip to the Philippines, a mission trip to the Philippines. And she said she wanted to go with me. But at that point, she couldn't really get thoughts together enough to know how to pack, even to go to the Philippines. My daughter has packed her clothes for her, and we went with the group to the Philippines. When we got there, we went with the, what was called a lay witness mission at that time under the, it was under the Methodist Church. I was a Mennonite at that time, but the leader of lay witness mission was a very good friend of ours and wanted us to go along and share our testimony too. And so we got there, and normally where the whole group of us would go to one church and we'd just share maybe twice during the weekend, at a weekend, but we got there and they said, well, we have so many churches that want us, we're going to split up into couples, and just one couple will go to each church. So that meant that we would be sharing and speaking quite a number of times during the weekend. Well, and there was two different weekends, one weekend in Baguio City and one weekend in Manila. Well, in Baguio City, we were at our hotel getting ready to go to bed, and a knock came on our door. It was our director, and he said, there's a couple here would like you to come and spend the weekend in their home with them. I looked at my wife and I said, well, we're here to share the gospel with us, aren't we? So let's go with them. We didn't know what we were going to encounter. And of course, our bathroom there was not a bathroom like we would have here in the States. The toilet was a hole in the floor. And they gave us their bed to sleep in, which was a wooden platform, plywood platform, with a very thin blanket on. And that was it. No mattress. So for this boy who was used to a soft bed all the time, you know, God had to come through. But the beautiful thing is that they asked my wife to share at a women's meeting the next morning. She shared several other times. And God just came through. The Holy Spirit came through, and I don't believe the people there knew that she was struggling with dementia. But the Spirit of God came through, and what I recognize at that time is the Spirit doesn't get diseased. The Spirit doesn't die. Our spirit stays alive and well. And when the Spirit took over, she just spoke like she would have before. And it was that came to my mind when I thought of, well, should I come and share with you or not? But God says, yes, you go and share some of the experiences you've had and some of the things that you've enjoyed. And I want to encourage you. I hope that I can be an encouragement to you before I leave and give you the desire, no matter what, I'm going to press on with Jesus. And then I also thought of one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation, and it's Psalm 71. And this, again, is what I just appreciate so much, the writer here. He said, Lord, you are my secure shelter. Don't ever let me down. Let your justice be my breakthrough. Bend low to my whispered cry and save me from all my enemies. You're the only place of protection for me. I keep coming back to hide myself in you, for you're like a mountain cliff, a fortress where I'm kept safe. And let me escape from those cruel, wicked men and save me from the hands of the evil one. For you are my only hope, Lord. I've hung on to you, trusting in you all my life. It was you who supported me from the day I was born, loving me, helping me through life's journey. You've made me a miracle. No wonder I trust you and praise you forever. Many marvel at my success, but I know it's all because of you, my mighty protector. I'm overflowing with your praise for all you've done, and your splendor thrills me all day long. And now that I'm old, don't set me aside. Don't let me go when my strength is spent, for all my enemies whisper behind my back. They're waiting for me to fall so they can finish me off. They're convinced you've left me. And yet you'll never come back to my rescue. They're saying, let's get him now. He has no savior. Oh God, stay close to me. Don't just watch me from a distance. Hurry to help me, my God. Cover those accusers of mine with shame and failure. destroy them all, for they want to kill me. And no matter what, I'll trust you to help me. Nothing will stop me from praising you, to magnify your glory. And I can't begin to count the times you've been there for me. With the skill of a poet, I'll run out of things to say about how you faithfully kept me from danger. I will come forth in your mighty strength, O my God. I will tell everyone that you are alone the perfect one. From my childhood, you've been my teacher, and I'm still telling every one of the miracles and wonders. God, now that I'm old and gray, don't walk away. Give me grace to demonstrate to the next generation all your mighty miracles and your excitement, to show them your magnificent power, for your glorious righteousness reaches up to a high heavens, and no one will ever be able to be compared with you. Who is your equal, O God? Marvels and wonders, O God of marvels and wonders. Even though you've never let us sink down with trials and troubles, I know you will revive us again, lifting us from the dust of death. Give us even more greatness than before. Turn and comfort us once again. My loving God, the harp in my heart will praise you. Your faithful heart to us will be the theme of my song. Melodies and music will rise to you, the Holy One of Israel. I will shout and sing your praises, for you are to me Savior, lover of my soul. I'll never stop telling others how perfect you are, while all those who seek my harm sink away ashamed and defeated. Sometimes I like to just, especially the Psalms, go to the Passion Translation and read it. It just brings a little different slant to things. And I just am so grateful and so thankful to God for all the marvelous, wonderful, gracious, beautiful things he has done for us. And to me, I'm going to enjoy life as long as God gives me the strength to put one foot in front of another. And I'm going to praise him, even though in the morning when I get out of bed, it takes a little time sometimes to get everything working and going. And if you're my age, you'll understand, or if you get that way. But still, I thank God for every day. And I'm just thanking God for what's coming. Now, some people think this world looks pretty dark and bleak. And if we look just at the world, it does. But the one who gave my wife the strength when she physically didn't have it, the one who gives me the strength to share and to show the beauty of Jesus, is the one who is alive and well on planet Earth. And it don't matter how dark it looks, but you know, when it's very, very dark, a little candle makes a big light. And so the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. Now, many of you are probably going to be getting together for Thanksgiving with family, with friends. And some are going to say, what do we have to be thankful for? My 401k's gone down the tube. The stock market isn't going places. Who can you believe in our world? the news, you turn on the news, you don't know whether you're hearing truth or whether you're not hearing truth. Because anymore today in our world, truth is what I believe it to be, is what people are saying. But I hope none of us get to the place that this is not the compass for truth, that this is not our moral compass. And some are saying, well, parts of it might be inspired by God and parts of it not. Well, I had a discussion with a professor friend of mine who wanted to get me into discussion of what of the scripture is inspired and what is not and so forth. And I looked at him and I said, you know, I never got very far in school, so I'm not smart enough to decide which of the scripture is inspired and which is not. So he said, I just take Paul's words to Timothy when he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I said, that works for me. End of discussion. You know, you don't have to have a college education to understand this book. We just have to know the writer of the book. We have to know the author. And we have to know who is there. And so maybe you're going to, in your times, I know certain people can't get together as families at a time like Thanksgiving because there's disagreements, there's differences, there's family things, maybe grudges that have been held for the years, and two brothers or two sisters or an aunt and an uncle or a cousin, a niece and an uncle don't want to be in the same room together. We have too much of that. And I want to give you a little story that I experienced. My late wife and I were married fairly young. We had 7 children in a fairly short time. In fact, we had 6 children in 8 years, and then Martin's father, Joel, came along 4 years later, one we weren't supposed to have, and he was a tremendous blessing to add to our family. But when the oldest one was, I'd say, 10, 12 years old, somewhere around there, one evening I went to go to bed, and my wife wouldn't come to bed with me, and that didn't happen. That's the first time in our married life that she didn't want to go to bed. I didn't know what was wrong, and she wouldn't tell me what was wrong. And I went to bed, tried to sleep, I couldn't sleep. So about midnight, I went to get an aspirin, and I went to the cabinet where we keep a few medications, which we had very little of. And the minute I opened the door about, she was there and grabbed my arm and said, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. I said, dear, don't do what? I said, I have a headache. I'm just here for an aspirin. And then I saw the distress on her face. And I finally was starting to get a message. See, this man was a workaholic. I grew up with godliness and work were synonymous. You know, you work was, that was godly. and to earn a good living for the family and so forth. So as a farmer, it was easier for me to spend time out in the fields because my wife was struggling with some times of depression, and I didn't know how to handle depression. Because you just turn it over to God and you just move on. Well, that didn't work with her. And finally she sat down, and we sat down, and she told me that she had that evening wrote a note and she was going to take a bottle of pills. But before she got the courage to do it, God put her to sleep. And then I began to say, God, what's my part in this as her husband? What part do I have? And God says, just do what I tell you and I'll show you. And I think finally I was able to take enough time to start to listen to God, because I wouldn't take time to listen to God or to my wife because I was too busy doing good things. Well, about 2 weeks earlier, we had got a notice in the mail of a Jesus is Lord conference. And of course, we just kind of laid it aside. I knew the fellow who was going to speak there, at least I thought I did. He was, when I was in short-term Bible school, he was my dorm manager and a man I really appreciated. So I said to my wife, I said, call and see if they still have room for us to go to that conference. We'll get somebody to be with the children and we'll see what God has for us there. We called them, they had room. We found somebody for the children. We went to the conference. Well, we got to the conference and it wasn't long till I realized the speaker, I didn't know him anymore. Something had happened to him in the meantime, that he was a different man, and I found myself with some of these charismaniacs, as I called them then. And of course, the pastor that I had at that time, he said this was not of God, the charismatic movement and so forth. It was of the devil and so forth. But we sat in the back and listened. And I was intrigued. And unbeknownst to me, my wife, who was still hurting from what she had done, said, Lord, there's a woman here that I believe maybe could help me. And if I'm to talk to her, have her sit side on me tomorrow at lunchtime. She put out the fleece. Lunchtime, we sat down at the table, and the two chairs side of her were empty, and didn't Mary and Melvin come in and sit down next to her? And we chatted over lunch hour, and before she got a chance to say anything to her, my Mary turned to my wife and she said, Irene, let us go and chat afterward. Let the men go in the meeting. She had sensed her down spirit. You know when somebody's walking in the spirit and you come next to somebody that is down and hurting, you feel it. There's a sense there, your antennas go up. And she got my wife to share about something that happened to her when she was 12 years old that she had never shared with a soul. She had an uncle that molested her, and she was carrying the weight and the hurt for all these years. And she finally shared with this lady. And you know, she just so beautifully took her in her arms and prayed that God would heal the memory of those past hurts. She says, God won't take away the memory, but he'll heal the pain of the memory. We have a great and awesome God. Because on the way home, my wife started to tell me, share with me what she shared with Mary. And after a bit, she said, you know, the pain is all gone. The pain is all gone. And that night we got home. Nothing had really happened spectacular to me during those meetings. I appreciated hearing the word taught and so forth. Nobody laid hands on me, nothing earth-shattering. We got home and put the children to bed. We went to our bedroom, and for about 5 hours, we prayed, we laughed, we cried, and God just hit us in our bedroom with his awesome spirit power. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I finally said, I gotta get a little sleep because I gotta get up and milk the cows in the morning, which was only 2 hours later. But God so changed her the next morning when we went to church Sunday morning, and the pastor met her, my wife, and looked at her. He says, what happened to you? That's how God can change us overnight. She said, why? He said, you look like you've been with Jesus. She said, I was. And then went on to get the children's coats off, and we went into the service, and that Sunday morning, the pastor asked for testimonies. A couple people got up and shared a testimony, and then he looked right in our direction. He said, somebody else has a testimony. He says, I know your name. And so I poked my wife. I said, go ahead. And she got up and spilt the can of worms and shared with the congregation how she was despaired of life and wanted to end it all. And you know the marvelous thing that God did through all that? We started a counseling ministry with people just coming to her or calling my wife and saying, Irene, what happened to you? I want what you have. You know, this is what God wants to do for all of us. Some of you here, probably sitting here, are carrying some pain and some hurt from the past. And you haven't quite known what to do with it. You thought, well, we just keep it buried. And now, because that kills your spirit. That kills your spirit. So God once has come that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. Do you have that abundant life this morning? I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. And I ask myself frequently, Lord, is your life so abundant in me that it shows on the outside? That it shows to the people that I meet? That it shows by the way I conduct myself around my children, my grandchildren, around family, friends? Is God that real to me and to us? And some of you, too, some of us may meet family over Thanksgiving, and maybe they don't know that peace. They don't know that joy. They don't know what Christ came to bring. And I urge you that know the power of Christ, that know the resurrection power, that know the joy that he can bring and give us regardless of what kind of trash we might have come from or what we've gone through in life. And I say trash because none of God's people are trash, but some people call them trash. And sometimes we call people trash. But remember, no person that God made and created is trash. But there's going to be hurting people that you're going to meet. And if we need to ask him, if we get a chance, do you know Jesus? Do you know the one who came to bring us peace? And they might say, well, I go to church. I was baptized. Oh. Well, do you know, in John chapter 3, there was a very religious man. And he came to Jesus, snuck in by night, because he didn't want to be seen with this crazy rabbi. And he said, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God. Because you couldn't do all these things except God were with you. And then Jesus said, I'm going to just read it here to get it. And I think we want to have God's word handy. And say, here. Let me read something to you. There was a prominent religious leader among the Jews named Nicodemus, who was part of a sect called the Pharisees. One night he discreetly came to Jesus and said, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no one performs the miracles and signs you do unless God's power is with him. Jesus answered, Nicodemus, listen to this eternal truth. Before a person can even perceive God's kingdom, they must first experience a rebirth. Nicodemus said, rebirth? How can a gray-haired man be reborn? It's impossible for anyone to go back into the womb a second time and be reborn. Jesus answered, I speak in eternal truth. Unless you are born of water and of the Spirit, you'll never enter God's kingdom. For the natural realm only gives birth to things that are natural, but the spiritual realm gives birth to spiritual life. You shouldn't be amazed at my statement. You all must be born from above. For the Spirit blows as it chooses. You can hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So is the same with those who are spirit born. Nicodemus replied, I don't understand what you mean. How does this happen? Jesus answered, Nicodemus, aren't you a respected teacher in Israel, and yet you don't understand this tremendous revelation? I speak eternal thoughts about things I know, things I've seen and experienced, and still you don't accept what I reveal. If you're unable to believe what I've been told you about the natural realm, what will you do when I begin to unveil the heavenly realm? No one has risen into heavenly realm except the Son of Man who exists in heaven. And then he went on talking about something Nicodemus knew much about. He says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent, the brass replica of a venomous snake on a pole for all the people to see and be healed, so the Son of Man is ready to be lifted up, so that those who truly believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For there is the way God, for this is the way God loved the world. He gave his only unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. We need to be ready to share the scripture with those who don't know. And there's a lot of people getting very, very discouraged because they see, people who are straight thinking people see what's happening in our world. And we're going down the tube fast. And the future don't look very bright to those who don't know Jesus as their Savior. And then there's those of us who maybe, I said earlier about unforgiveness and so forth. I want to go on just a little further with my late wife's story to show the power of forgiving. And some of us may need to do that. About 4 years after we received the baptism of the Spirit and knew the power of the Spirit, we were asked to go to a church conference out in Colorado. And this aunt and uncle had moved to New Mexico. And she said, you know, if we're going out there to that conference, I'd like to go down to New Mexico to see my uncle. I said, what? You never wanted to get near him. You'd go to the other side of the house when he'd come to visit your parents next door. I must see him. I must see him. I said, okay. I said, I want to go down to Arizona and visit a friend of mine while we're out there too, so we'll just swing down there and in through New Mexico. And so she called them and told them we were going to stop by. They lived in a mobile home, and it was a scene I'll never forget. Her aunt came to the door and welcomed us very warmly like she always did. But he sat in the sofa. He didn't move off the sofa. He just turned around, and his greeting to her was, did you bring your gun to shoot me? So you know what was going through that man's mind for years. So I wanted to get her aunt out of the house. She had a beautiful garden, so I started talking garden. And we went out, and I left her alone with her uncle. She told me later, she said, I said to him, Uncle, I want you to know that as far as I'm concerned, there is no past. God has completely taken care of the past. It's gone. His blood has taken care of it. And I want you to know that's exactly where I am. And he wasn't able to really respond to her. He just sat there like a whipped dog. We left there, and she was a free person because she had said, you know, when we forgive others, we set ourselves free. Because you know, when we don't forgive, it's like as if I drink poison and hope it'll kill you. That's how unforgiveness works. But that was in August. December of that year, she got a Christmas card from her cousin. And in it, her cousin said, Irene, I don't know what you did to my dad when you were out here. But she said, ever since you were here, my dad is a totally different person. He's gone to church with us. He's laughing. He's just become a different person. You see the power of forgiveness? Forgiveness doesn't only set you free. It sets the other person free, even though they can't ask for it. We set them free. And more than that, we set ourselves free. And she never got to meet that uncle again after that. He passed on. But to me, it showed the awesome power of following God's word and doing what God tells us to do in the area of forgiveness. I didn't ask Martin how long I was supposed to preach, but how long I was supposed to share. But I'll soon be wrapping up. We, in our family, saw many healings. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Martin's aunt was only about 14 years old when she developed swelled lymph nodes under her arms. And my wife said, well, I have to take you to the doctor. And she told my mother, my mother took care of some of the other children while she took her to the doctor. And she got her to the doctor. The doctor said, I want her in the hospital today yet. Well, you know, when you get those words, you it makes you think a couple times. Anyway, she went to the hospital. They operated on the lymph nodes. But 2 weeks later, when she took her back to the doctor told, after he examined her, he said, Joyce, go out in the waiting room. I want to talk to your mother a little bit. And after she went out, he said, well, he's a mother. He says, you probably know better what happened here than I do. This was a Jewish doctor. But he said, when we took her to the hospital, we took a blood test, and she tested positive for leukemia. He said, the next morning I woke up early, and I just felt we needed to run another blood test sample. So he said, I called the hospital before I went in and told them to pull another blood sample and do a second check. And he said, the next morning the check was totally negative. He said, I think you know with your faith what happened. So the doctor understood divine healing. And of course, I'm able to read today partially because, a good bit of it, because God totally healed an incurable disease in my left eye. And you know, God has such a sense of humor, how he does things sometimes. I had toxoplasmosis, which is incurable. At that point, they had no cure for it. And it settles in either one of your organs, either an eye or the heart or the brain. And if it's any organ, it settles in, it's generally fatal too. So the doctor said, well, he said, the best news I have for you is that you'll probably go blind in that eye totally, and it could go to the other eye. I said, the best news you got for me, right? Yeah. He said, I'll just admit. He said, I'm going to give you a steroid, but he said, that'll probably just arrest it a little bit. He said, it won't cure it. And so he gave me a steroid that made me break out in hives, and he said, well, you have to go off that. You can't take that. And so shortly after that, my wife was watching 700 Club one day when I come in from the barn, and he was interviewing a charismatic Catholic priest. And I watched for about 5 minutes, and I went on out to the barn. And when I come back in for lunch, she said, remember that priest that was on there with Pat? I said, yeah. Well, before they signed off, he said, Pat, I have a word of knowledge for somebody. He said, there was somebody watching this program about a half hour ago, and they have an incurable disease in their left eye. They're not watching now, but there's somebody watching that knows them. You tell them God's going to heal them. I said, I'll take that one. I'll take that one. It fit me perfectly. So about a week later, I had an appointment with my eye doctor, who happened also to be a Jewish doctor. And he looked in my eye, and he stood up, and he shook his head. I said, what's wrong, doc? What's wrong? He said, it's not what's wrong, it's what's right. I said, what do you mean? He said, the lesions are all dried up in there. And this don't happen. I've never seen it happen. So I proceeded to tell him about the television program. And I'll tell you, he was all ears. I had his full attention. And after I was finished, he said, well, there's some things us doctors just have to admit we don't understand. And you know, what was so interesting to me is that the doctor was showing me that he's no respecter of persons, because he took this priest who in my Mennonite theology wasn't saved at that point, and he took a priest, gave him a word of knowledge over TV, which some people thought were quite evil at that time, and healed this Mennonite boy's eye so he could give a testimony to a Jewish doctor. Now, doesn't God have a sense of humor? And the doctor said, well, he said, the best sight we can give you in that eye right now is 35/20 vision. He said, don't expect it to get better. Well, praise God, today I have 20/20 vision in that eye with corrective lenses. And I wouldn't be reading to you if I didn't, because I had a blood vessel burst in my right eye, so I am not seeing very well out of that, but God still gives me good vision out of the eye that was supposed to be. And another interesting thing about that was when we called 700 Club to tell them what God did, they said, do you want to know something else interesting about that? They said, that was recorded 2 weeks before you heard it. Is our God awesome, or isn't he? That's the awesome God we serve. And you know what I am confident in? That in the next couple of years, we're going to see God doing awesome things, much more awesome than we've ever seen in the past, much more awesome than I've seen. Because the prophets are telling us, and I believe them, I've been feeling it in my spirit for several years now. I've been feeling like a kid waiting to open his Christmas presents. That's how excited I am about the future. The enemy isn't going to get me down about the future, because I'm excited. My God is in control. Your God is in control. And even though tough times may come, God allows tough times for a purpose. Does a bodybuilder gain anything without working hard at it and pain, without going through pain? Does a long distance runner get there without going through pain? Do you develop your spiritual muscles without going through some pain and hurt at times? Now, I want to encourage you, when the tough times come, and they will, say, God, I trust you. You're bigger than this. You said in your scripture that you're able to work all things together for good to those who love you. And I had to say that when my wife came down with her problem. And you know what God gave me? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I stood on that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your, my version was, don't lean on your own stinking thinking. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And I just had to quote that back to God. And you know what it did as I did that? It strengthened me. You know, when we take the word of God, just as Jesus, you know, when he was tempted of the devil, what did he do to the devil? He spoke the word of God back to the devil. And when we speak God's word back to it and say, God, this is your word, I'm standing on it. Now, it shouldn't be just one particular scripture taken out of context like people do sometimes. No, it's got to be, what is the word saying? And God will direct your path. And God was so faithful in keeping that, that only about 1 week after my late wife's funeral, one morning as I was waking up, I heard a voice. And it was just like a real voice. I looked around the room to see who was in the room. That's how real the voice was. And this voice was speaking a woman's name to me that I hadn't seen for the last 16 years. Since her husband's funeral, I had not seen her. I didn't know if she was single. I didn't know whether she was married. I didn't know a thing about her, but this woman's name just came to me just as clear as a bell. Gladys Stutzman. And I said, Lord, what's this all about? I just buried my wife. I'm not quite ready. Although emotionally, I really had lost her years before, because the last few years she didn't know me as her husband anymore, even though I was taking care of her. But here it was, and I thought, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? And so about 2 weeks later, I said, Lord, if this isn't of you, take it away. Well, did you ever have something just keep rolling over in your head and rolling over, and it just doesn't go away? Well, this lady's name just didn't go away. So about 2 weeks later, I said something to my senior pastor. I said, this lady's name's gone through my head like a broken record, and I don't know what God's trying to tell me. He said, who is it? And I told him, and he started to grin from ear to ear. Of course, I knew him well enough to know that he had something up his sleeve. I said, now what you got up your sleeve? He said, you want to sit down? I said, why? We said, about 2 mornings ago, I was dreaming as I was waking up. He said, you were sitting around a table with a group of people, and Gladys was sitting side of you in my dream. I said, okay, Lord. I get the message. I guess you are trying to tell me something. So I tell people, today I'm married to my dream lady. And you know, God, when God puts something together, he does it right. God can take things and put them together. And so, now, we together have our dozen. I had 7 children and she had 5. And so we just thank God for every one of them. We were able to have all of them take part in our wedding, which we just thank God for. Her two sons walked her down the aisle. Her three daughters were her attendants. My three sons were my attendants. And my four daughters sang at the wedding. And my son-in-law married us. So it was a real family affair. And it's not without some glitches in the way. But you know, to be able to grow old together and to have somebody that you just loves the Lord like you do. And before I come up here this morning, she squeezed my hand and says, "I'm praying for you." That's the kind of relationship we have. And it's a joy. So why am I saying these things? I want to encourage every one of you. I don't know anything about you folks. Martin hasn't told me anything about any of you, so if I tramped on a toe or two, that's not because of Martin. But I am here. I came this morning to share that our God is faithful. He will always do what he promised. He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He said, "My yoke is easy. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls." So if you're not resting in the Lord this morning, I want to pray for you. If you have someone you can't or won't, I shouldn't say can't. All of us can forgive because forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. Remember, you might say, "Well, I can't forgive that person. They hurt me too deeply." Oh, yes, you can. See, God never asks us to do something that he won't give us the power to do. We just have to say, "Yes, Lord, I can't do it in my own, but by your strength, I can." So for somebody in your life that you're struggling with forgiving, wife and I will be here after I'm finished. We'd be happy to pray with you. Or anybody else, if there's something that you'd like, two old people that have gone through the mill, and learn that God is able to do anything. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond anything we can ask or think. And I believe that's our God. And so, Father, I just thank you for this congregation. I thank you for these, your children, who are here this morning. And Lord, maybe there's someone here that isn't one of your children, who doesn't know you, has never accepted you as Savior. Lord, don't leave them leave this place until they have called out to you and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Father, I'm sure many here today have friends and family who don't know you, who maybe have walked away from you, who are caught maybe in addictions or whatever it may be. God, we know there's nothing too difficult for you. And I just pray, Lord, you will give courage and strength. Those who might be lonely over this Thanksgiving season, I pray, Lord, you'll have somebody to put their arm around them and give them a place to be over Thanksgiving. So Lord, or Christmas, whatever it may be. So Lord, I just pray, wake your people up and help us to become all that you call us to become because of Jesus Christ. God bless you. And I just wanted to share one more thing yet. I just, Martin had said about going home for Thanksgiving. His parents, his dad and his stepmother are going to be away over Thanksgiving, but I found out that Martin and his siblings are going to have Thanksgiving at their dad's home, and they're going to follow a Thanksgiving tradition of, there's some single women that were in their former church where Martin used to go, that they've been inviting for Christmas and Thanksgiving and so forth. They've just become like a family to them. And so Martin and his siblings are going to have Thanksgiving dinner with these single women who have become part of their family. So God just passes it on down. So pass things on to your children who they will be able to pass on to others. And we're going to remain faithful until Jesus comes. And may God bless you all.